Bibles, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and the remainder of this chapter. You have ending exhortations and admonitions. Paul ends his epistle to the saints at Thessalonica with directions and duties that are aimed at promoting their spiritual welfare and prosperity. He is desirous of seeing this newly formed church grow in grace and in spiritual maturity. And certainly that's the goal of every preacher, missionary, pastor, as he ministers to the saints of God. And every church of the Lord Jesus would do well to follow the concise commands of Paul in this concluding section of 1 Thessalonians. Now tonight we're going to look at directions for inward spirituality. We're going to look at least start in verse 16. He says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Now, I think it's really important to note that Paul emphasizes the need for inward spirituality, inward grace, where your heart is set upon the Lord, where it's not just an outward show of religion, but he's talking about inward things that you do. Rejoicing, praying, a spirit of thanksgiving. That all has to do with your attitude. It has to do with your relationship with God. How you view Him, how you view your duties and your service to Him. We ought to do it with the right kind of attitude if we're going to live in a spiritual way. If we're going to cultivate and maintain a level of spiritual maturity and growth and grace, it has to begin on the inside in order for it to manifest itself outwardly. I fear that much of today's religion is all an outward form. It's all just a shell. There's not any power in modern day religion because there's little emphasis placed upon the inner life of the believer. How we act, how we think, how we interact with God. You know, I've often thought that most people really complicate the Christian life and discipleship. It really comes down to some basic things, you know. And I believe this my entire ministry. You want to develop a spiritual relationship with God? Get in His Word. Read it. Pray over it. Memorize portions of it. Think deeply upon it. Obey it. Apply it. In other words, be connected to the only thing that God has given directly to you. His Word. This ought to be a major part of everyone's life if they're going to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And yet I fear that we live in a day of biblical ignorance, biblical neglect, because people have a whole host of other things that they put as priorities in front of the Word of God. Get in the Word. It's pretty simple. This is not rocket science. Be faithful to church. Go to the house of God. Interact with believers. Worship the Most High God. Learn to enjoy this thing that we have as a body in Christ. Rejoice in that. Be thankful for the relationship that you have, the privilege that you have to be in the Lord's house, to be in the Lord's church, to be able to worship and exalt Him and hear the Word preached and to grow and to learn. It ought to be a lifelong quest to be faithful to hear the preaching of the Word of God and then apply it in our daily lives. The Word, church, going, being a part of the Lord's church, and then praying. Talking to God. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. The admonition's right here. Pray without ceasing. These are simple instructions that will enhance your inward spirituality, your connection with God. His Word is His instruction for you. Prayer is when you can go and unburden your heart to God. Go before Him. Talk to the Lord. Worship Him in prayer. Exalt Him. And then it comes down to being faithful and honest in the way you live your life. In your home, at the workplace, maintain a Christian testimony. Let people know that you were saved and then live like it. These are all things that we can do to enhance our spiritual connection with God. And I fear that these simple things are neglected in large part. You know, there's all kinds of how-to seminars. And in reality, you've also, if you're going to be spiritual, you got to recognize where the power, the grace comes from. It's God's Spirit who dwells within us, who opens up our understanding, who opens up, who empowers us for service, who leads us, who guides us according to the truth of the Word. And we need to do everything in our power not to quench the Spirit, not to grieve the Spirit, but to obey Him as He leads us according to the Word. These are simple things that all of us, and then be the right kind of example. If you're going to be a spiritual Christian, be the right kind of example to your husband, to your wife, to your children, to your church members, to the place wherever you work. In other words, don't ever clock out. You're on the clock all the time. Live like it. Now, let's get more particular with our commands here tonight. Paul's first direction to spiritual growth and maturity is to rejoice evermore. Now, Paul, of all people, knew full well the stress and difficulties that the church at Thessalonica was facing. These new believers were being persecuted for their allegiance to Jesus Christ. Yet in spite of the circumstances, they are exhorted to rejoice in the Lord. You know what joy is? Joy is that inward spring of spiritual rejoicing that comes from our union to Christ and our obedience to Him. It results in our relationship to Him and our obedience to Him. Now, you'll have people today, antinomians, say, "Oh, it doesn't matter. That obedience to the commands. No, it's all, everything's all of grace." And they're right in that respect. Everything is all of grace. But if you love the Lord, you're going to obey Him. You're going to walk in His ways. If you're going to be spiritually fruitful, you got to do what the Lord says. John 15, 10 and 11, Jesus said, "If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full." There it is. There's the key. You know, you want to know how to rejoice evermore? get into the depths of John 15, 10 and 11. Understand your union, what it is with Christ, what it means to abide in Him, to walk with Him, to obey Him, to love Him above all others. And I guarantee you, if that's working in your life, you're going to rejoice evermore. Every day will be one where you have joy unspeakable and full of glory no matter what the circumstances. Because you belong to the King. You're a child of His love. Somebody ought to write a song about that. It ought to bring rejoicing. I've always said, if anybody should have a smile on their face, a song in their heart, praise upon their lips, it ought to be God's people. I mean, we've been loved with an everlasting love. He chose us before the world began. He demonstrated that love when Jesus died in our place, suffered for our sin, gave Himself for us, shed His blood, rose from the dead, and then imparted that life to us by the power of His Spirit working in us. And we are saved, indwelt by the Spirit of God. We have the promises of God. We have the truth of Jesus Christ behind us. We've got a hope of heaven that's real and that's lasting. Every day ought to be one of rejoicing. See, but man, you don't know what's going on at work. I don't either. But have you ever thought about what went on with what Paul the Apostle had to go through? I mean, I guess everything's relative, but let's kind of compare situations. And he was still able to say, rejoice evermore. You see, joy is a vital aspect of the fruit of the Spirit that manifests itself in our lives as the Holy Spirit through the Word of God conforms us to the image of Jesus Christ. The joy that we receive from being united to Jesus Christ and fellowshipping with Him is really our strength to live the Christian life. If we understand the nature of true joy, we will see that when it's lacking, spirituality and strength for service will also be on the decline. Just look at your spiritual history. I mean, our lives ebb and flow. We have times when we're closer to the Lord than others, but just do a check. Do an evaluation. Look back in your spiritual history. You're going to find that those times that you did not have the joy of the Lord, you weren't as close to the Lord as you ought to be. You often were complaining and miserable. That's what happens when joy is lacking. But since we are in Christ and we are complete in Him, we ought to find ourselves rejoicing in the things of God daily. And that's why He says, rejoice evermore. And as I thought about this, it should not be a difficult exercise to thoughtfully meditate upon the reasons why we are to be always rejoicing. Now, I've got ahead of myself a little bit, so this may be a little bit of repetition. Doesn't it amaze you when you think about who you are, about your sinful life, the depravity that you lived with, that you live with? You're a sinner. You're broken. And in reality, if you really check yourself, you will have to agree with this statement. You don't deserve to go to heaven. You deserve an eternity in hell. It's something that just fills me with a sense of awe and humility and joy that my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, because God loved me with an everlasting love and He chose me in Christ Jesus. Man, that right there, to think that God would love someone so unworthy, so unlovable, it brings rejoicing to my heart. That God set me apart for Himself. And then to think that the Lord Jesus agreed in the covenant of grace to redeem us by offering Himself. He was not just an ordinary person. He's God manifest in the flesh. He told Thomas, or Philip, it's in there, one of His disciples. He said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Paul said that Christ was the manifestation of the Godhead bodily. He never sinned. Not in His thoughts, not in His words, not in His attitudes. Everything He did was a pouring out of obedience and service. That's the kind of person, the only kind, that can save me. That's the kind of person that loved me enough to take my place and offer Himself as a perfect sacrifice. No spot, no blemish. And yet He was willing to take my sins. My sins that should have damned me as the eternal ages roll on. Yet Jesus bore each and every one of them and was punished in my place when He offered His life and His blood upon the cross. You see, His death, His burial, His resurrection is a demonstration of His great love for me. And when I think that God chose me and Christ died for me, and that ought to be enough to fuel me each and every day. Just meditating, thinking deeply upon God's electing grace and Christ's redeeming work on my behalf, that ought to every day send my heart filled with rejoicing. And the Holy Spirit has given us new life and regeneration. He has graced us with the gifts of repentance and saving faith, enabling us to believe the truth of the gospel. What a miracle that is. And I often refer to it when I give my testimony. It is honest to goodness one of the most amazing miracles that I've ever witnessed is the salvation of my soul. Because I know what I was. I know how I thought, how I lived, how I acted, how I behaved. And it amazes me that God did a miracle of grace in me. Not just for time, but for all eternity. See, think on these things, man. Rejoice evermore. And now the Holy Spirit, He dwells in you. God is in you of a truth. The Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. He is the earnest of our inheritance. He dwells within us.
He loves us. He secures us for all eternity. And He's the one. Every truth that you know, everything that you hold dear, every promise that's been made real to you, it's by the Holy Spirit working in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's not your intellect. It's not your ability. It's not your brain power. It's God working in you. And He does that on a daily basis. So you put that all together, and it means that the Holy Trinity is working in harmony to affect our salvation and our eternal happiness. God is literally for us each and every day. And that's a source of immeasurable joy. We also have the infallible Word of God to instruct us, to guide our lives. We have all the promises of God that are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. We are assured that God is for us every day and in every circumstance of life, and has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. He is not a fair weather friend. He'll never forsake us. We have the sure promise of spending all eternity in the holy presence of our great God. Free from sin, free from sorrow, free from pain, free from disappointment. And you know what's amazing? We have all that ahead of us. But we're also able to enjoy fellowship with God and other believers as we walk this uneven journey of life. See, start with God as your source of inward joy. And then think of all the things that's come from God to you. I'm blessed. God gave me a wonderful family. A good mom and dad. My sister's okay. I love her. I really do. Yeah. So she watches this sometimes. So shoot. But my parents, they favored her so much. It's just not even. I'm not complaining. I mean, the kid. She was a princess. Nothing she did was ever. She got spanked one time. The whole time, and she did a lot of bad stuff. But even with that, I'm blessed to have her as my sister. And then to think of my family, my wife, the children God gave me, the grandchildren, even Adelaide. How He is blessed in my life. See, you start with God, and then you work your way down to all the gifts and all the blessings and all the encouragement. And then it goes even broader than that. What a joy it is to be a member of Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist Church. To know that I have brothers and sisters in Christ that love me, that care about me, that want to serve the Lord together in and carry out the great commission. What a joy that is. The world, if God would just open their eyes to see, these are the things that really matter for all eternity. And there are reasons to have joy unspeakable each and every day. You see, and then, what a blessing it is to see people that you know, that you love, that you've witnessed to, that you've spoken to, whether it's in your family or friends, or to see them saved. How amazing is that? When God saves sinners. You see, all of this and much more give us reason to follow this admonition. Rejoice evermore. I want to close on giving you just a word of caution. Our human nature is such that we often tend to focus on our problems and our disappointments rather than our relationship with the Lord Jesus, who is altogether lovely. And I pray that God is just the simplicity of this message, that it would take hold in our hearts, that we will put this message on the development and the maintenance of spiritual joy, that it will help us through this week, that we'll apply it every day, and that God would deliver us from the things that tend to rob us of joy. You show me somebody that's complaining, murmuring, belly aching, criticizing, always finding everything wrong, they ain't going to have a whole lot of joy because their focus ain't right. May God grant us grace to be found consistently rejoicing in Christ and manifesting that joy in the way we live our daily lives. So my recommendation tonight, if you want to increase in spirituality, rejoice evermore. Let that be the attitude of your heart each and every day. Let's all stand.